And good morning. It's good to be with you this Saturday morning. Of course, this story comes from Greek mythology, so take it as such. But there is a point to the story. It was long ago now that Hercules came to the crossroads. At a quiet intersection in the hills of Greece, in the shade of knobby pine trees, the great hero of the Greek myth first met his destiny. Where exactly it was, or when, no one knows. Where was he headed? Where was he trying to go? That's the point of the story. Alone, unsure, Hercules, like so many of us, did not know. Where the road diverged lay a beautiful goddess who offered him every temptation he could imagine. Adorned in finery, she promised him a life of ease. She swore he'd never taste want, or unhappiness, or fear, or pain. Follow her, she said, and his every desire would be fulfilled. Now, on the other path, there stood a much sterner goddess in a pure white robe. She made a much quieter call. She promised no rewards except those that came as a result of hard work. It would be a long journey, she said. There would be sacrifice. There would be scary moments, but it was a journey fit for the elite. It would make him the person his ancestors meant him to be. For Hercules, the choice was between vice and virtue, the easy way and the hard way, the well-trod path and the road less traveled. We all face this choice. Hesitating only for a second, Hercules chose the one that made all the difference. He chose virtue. Virtue can seem old-fashioned, yet virtue translates to something very simple and very timeless. That means excellence, both moral, physical, and mental. Sometimes when I come across stuff like that, I think, well, where they really got that from? They got it from the Word of God. Always have enjoyed and thought about frequently. Sometimes I've really thought about that, especially when I need it, and that's frequent. But in the book of the Old Testament called Micah, he was one of the prophets, I like the verse, I think it's chapter 6, verse 8, "He has shown you, O man, what is good and what the Lord requires of thee." How's it going again? I don't have a Bible in front of me. Oh, to act justly, to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. How could you go wrong if you followed that? Now, obviously, this program is about health. The program is called Health Essentials. But I want to give you information that gives you the ability to use one of the greatest things that God has given you. It's called choice. You have a free will. You are the one that completely volunteers to take care of yourself. You get to choose exactly how you're going to do that. If a doctor told you that you're highly allergic to eggs, well, would you avoid them? If it meant that you could overcome the severe health malady, well, the choice is yours. Not everybody does. I want to read this to you right here. To me, this is very interesting. The title of the article, or where does it come from? It comes from June 2022 from Current Developments in Nutrition. And they're saying that green tea helps support healthy glucose, that's your blood sugar, in metabolic syndrome patients. Those are people that are head toward full-blown diabetes. Okay. They revealed in the article that, or in the study, that consuming green tea extract, it improved glucose levels in adults with metabolic syndrome, which is a cluster of factors that increase the risk of developing diabetes and also cardiovascular, meaning heart disease. Supplementation with green tea extract was associated with improvement in intestinal health, including a reduction in leaky gut. I don't know if you're paying attention right now, but depending on what you read or who you listen to, there's a lot of people that feel as if there is no hope to correct the lining of their gut and to make it stronger where it doesn't leak so much debris and cause your immune system to work overtime continually. But here you go, green tea. It says there is much evidence that greater consumption of green tea is associated with good levels of cholesterol. Well, that's going to be a bonus for most people. Glucose, you know what? You're not better off by having your blood sugar average 106. That's not diabetes, but that's not optimal. You're also not better off by your triglycerides being at 145. No, they probably need to be half that. It says, but no studies have linked the benefits of green tea at the gut level until now. This comes from senior researcher Richard Bruno of Ohio State University, which I'm thinking that makes him a Buckeye. I'm just joking. Have you ever held a Buckeye in your hand? They're huge. If David was rapidly approaching Goliath, a Buckeye might take him out. It says the trial was a follow-up study to one that was published back in 2019 that found, and this to me is interesting also, in 2019 they did a different study and they found green tea was very protective against inflammation induced by a condition called NASH. That's non-alcoholic steatohepatitis. Basically, that's a fancy term for you got a fatty liver. Now, of course, this study was done in mice. Since it was done in 2019, I called the researchers personally and asked if I could speak to the mice, but they're already dead. No, I'm just joking. You know, mice, they don't have a long lifespan. They don't live 3.5 years. They don't. They say in the current crossover trial, 21 individuals with metabolic syndrome, and they also had 19 healthy controls or healthy participants. All they did was they received 1 gram of green tea extract or a placebo for 28 days. You know what 28 days represents? The amount of time it takes the moon to make one complete circuit in its orbit around the Earth. This period was followed by another treatment period in which the participants who previously received the extract were given a placebo. And those who were given had been given the placebo, they were all of a sudden given the green tea extract. So here's what it says. Supplementation with green tea extract was associated with lower fasting glucose and markers of intestinal inflammation as compared with the placebo. Let me see, who's listening today? The person that should listen to this is the one that has continual tummy trouble. Okay? Maybe you have stomach aches, you have pain, your bowels aren't right, or what if it's a person that's been to the doctor for a recent lab test, and it shows your glucose, while maybe you don't have diabetes, maybe you do, but it's higher than what it should be. And so all that leads to inflammation. In a separately published findings, green tea extract was associated with decreases in small intestinal permeability. That's called a leaky gut, folks. I like that. Here's what Dr. Bruno says. What this tells us is that within 1 month, we're able to lower blood glucose in both people with metabolic syndrome and also in healthy people. Now, that I like that. And the lowering of the blood glucose appears to be related to decreasing leaky gut syndrome and decreasing gut inflammation. So maybe we can learn something from this study. Green tea is good for the blood sugar and good for the gut. And plus, when's the last time you've heard of somebody being rushed to the emergency room because they overdosed on a cup of green tea? No, that doesn't happen. That's just not going to happen at all. All right. What's the other one I liked right here? Okay. This one may not be super fabulous, but it's interesting. You know, and one of the concepts, it's not just really one thing that you do that controls the entire risk of whether you live or die. It's really a bunch of little things. And I'm sure you would agree with me. When you take a person that sits on the couch all day long and they just watch television and they kind of have a negative home life and they're eating junk food, well, there's a lot of factors in there. It's not just one. But listen to this one right here. This one's pretty simple and easy to do. It's kind of like, it kind of goes, it just dovetails right in with the green tea study. On August the 29th, 2022, which, what was that, a month and a half ago, almost 2 months, the Annals of Internal Medicine. That's a pretty prestigious medical journal. I'm sure right now that all the physicians at the direct care are reading this article as we speak. So what they did is they reported a lower risk of dying from any cause over 11.2 years among men and women who regularly drank black tea in comparison to those that did not. That's the simplicity of it right there. The study included 498,030 participants. That comes from the United Kingdom. It's a prospective study of people residing in Great Britain. Let me see. What did it say right here? Okay, during up to 14 years of follow-up, which I kind of think that's interesting. They didn't just follow them for 30 days, but that study I just read, all it took was 30 days of green tea, and they started seeing lower blood sugar, and they started seeing improvements in inflammation in the gut. So, man, I like that. It doesn't take long to get well. Sometimes drugs work really fast, but, for example, if somebody has an autoimmune condition, it may take just a bit before the drugs start to take effect, as in months. Of course, what I would always encourage you to do, you need to go online because it's so easy now. Just Google, what are the potential side effects of taking hydroxychloroquine? Or what are the side effects of taking Enbrel? Or what are the side effects of taking steroids? I saw a woman this week. She said, I can tell you the side effect of taking steroids. You'll gain 20 pounds in a month. I'm going, well, you're right. And I could also tell you what the woman told me this week about taking an antidepressant. She said, I can also explain to you, this is a different person, what happens when you take antidepressants, this particular one. I think it was like hydroxyzine or something like that. She said, you gain 30 pounds in a month. I'm going, oh my goodness, that's unsustainable. Especially when you're a teeny tiny petite girl, 30 pounds is not easy to handle. So we need to find a different way deal with depression other than making you pack on 100 extra pounds. It says that those in this study that drank the black tea, if you just had one cup of the black tea, there was a 5% lower risk of dying. That may not sound impressive to you, but just think of it as every time that you drink a cup of tea or maybe herbal tea, who knows, you might be doing yourself a favor. Your body might be saying, thank you very much. We like living in this body as long as we're getting our tea. It says those that had 2 to 3 cups of the black tea, they had a 13% lower risk of dying. It said also that tea intake was associated with a decreased risk of death from cardiovascular disease, ischemic heart disease, and a stroke. It says adding milk or sugar to the tea failed to impact the results. I really didn't want to read that part, but, you know, I got to be honest and tell you. So even when they added milk to the tea and sugar, it didn't really affect the positive outcome. Okay. All right. Next one right here. This, okay, so the study on green tea and leaky gut and lowering glucose, that is important to every single person that's listening right now. If you're a living, breathing human being, that's important to you. Or that could be useful. The one on black tea or orange pekoe tea, well, there you go. There's another positive thing that you can do to help yourself. Now here's another one right here. This one to me is so important. Let me see a show of hands right now. Who in the listening audience would like to lose their vision and go blind? Well, I didn't see one hand go up. It's not going to happen. Nobody wants to do that. But you realize that's a consequence of dealing with, I'm just going to say out of control diabetes. Okay. Here's a study right here. This comes from Biological Trace Element Research. I really didn't know that was a journal, but evidently it is. But it's going to make sense. They found an association between low magnesium and a much higher risk of developing what's called diabetic retinopathy, which, I'm telling you, that is a long-term, major, big-time visual complication of diabetes. You don't want to lose your vision. Okay. And I'm just quoting the author right here. His name is Wan Chin of Soochow University in China. Just because a study comes from China doesn't mean it's not valid. But here's what he says. Low magnesium consumption has been linked to an increased risk of type 2 diabetic mellitus or diabetes mellitus. I don't have the research in front of me, but I want to say in the year 1901, do you know what the occurrence of diabetes was? I think it was like 1 per 200,000 people living in America. I could be wrong on that, but it's just like shocking. Now, it's every other person you see has diabetes. It really begs the question, what are we doing differently now than they were doing then? And then there's probably a lot of things we do differently. Okay, let me see if I can find the nitty-gritty of this right here. Okay. Okay, let me read this to you. These are just some of the factors on low levels of magnesium. Or another way of saying it is, either you're going to, and I think I've told you before, that when a human being is really experiencing a lot of stress, you can bet your bottom dollar you're just burning through your reserves of magnesium. I think I've also told you before that just drinking one soft drink, let's just say it's a can of Coke or Dr. Pepper, or the one that would be worse would be stuff like Red Bull or Monster Energy. That's just wicked to the body. Yes, I get it. If you're about to fall asleep at 2 o'clock in the morning, please drink all the stuff that you need to keep yourself from dying if you have a crisis or an emergency. But if you don't have to, you don't want to die by death from a thousand cuts, which means you die slowly. So what they're doing when it comes to magnesium, they're looking at kidney function. If you have a lab test and it shows that the GFR on your metabolic profile is below 100, then that may mean that you've got some kidney damage. And as a general rule, if the GFR, that stands for glomerular filtration rate, if that's 100, you can just bet your bottom dollar that your kidneys are working right at 100% efficiency. That's good. But if it goes below 95, on some level, that is suggesting there's been some damage to the kidneys. Does that make sense? And so let's just say that your GFR is exactly at 61. Well, from what I've just told you, you could interpret that simply as your kidneys working at 61% efficiency. Now, is that what you want? No. I mean, your kidneys are some of the most amazing filtration systems of the blood. You need them for a whole bunch of other reasons than just filtering the blood. They're amazing what they do. But if your kidney, if the GFR dropped to like 58, that's considered stage 1 kidney failure or renal failure. Do you really want to head toward dialysis? No. So they look at kidney function to try to gain a foothold on magnesium levels. The other factor is if you drink alcohol. That's just the way it is. If you drink alcohol, you're losing magnesium at a faster rate. If you're using a diuretic like hydrochlorothiazide or furosemide or Lasix, something like that, those are diuretics. When you take diuretics to lower your blood pressure, you're just losing your precious magnesium. Which to me, I don't really know what we're gaining by using diuretics. Yeah, it may get the fluid off, but I think your body's giving you a different message. It's probably telling you, you may need to change your diet and your lifestyle and your outlook. The other drug that really causes massive magnesium loss, proton pump inhibitors. Have you ever heard of omeprazole or pantoprazole or Nexium, drugs like that? They affect the ability of your kidneys just to reabsorb the magnesium. And so they're looking at those things, and they're going, okay, how does this relate to diabetic retinopathy or losing your vision? And so basically they're saying that greater magnesium intake and then lower magnesium depletion. So basically you get the gist of this. You need to eat foods or supplement with magnesium. That's called your intake. But what if you're drinking a lot of alcohol and your kidneys are not in great shape, or you're taking an acid blocking drug, you know, for GERD or acid reflux? Well, that's going to suck the magnesium out of you. Or if you're drinking soft drinks. Okay, well, they've shown that when you have plenty of magnesium, the risk of developing diabetic neuropathy is nil. Now, I'm quoting the research right here. It says, our research indicates that magnesium deficiency predicts a higher risk of diabetic retinopathy in diabetic individuals, and that magnesium supplementation may reduce the risk of diabetic retinopathy. Okay, this one right here is going to be, if you don't have a pencil handy, you might want to write this down. And this may not be, I mean, you may already know this, but I'm just willing to bet there's a lot of people that haven't heard this before, so that's why I'm going to cover it. Okay, there is a findings from a study. This is a new topic, but it still is on diabetes, which I don't know how many people listening right now have diabetes, but I'm guessing a lot. Which means there's a whole lot of people that can benefit if they will only take notes and listen. You know, have you seen the studies on when people write things down that they want to accomplish, the chances that they're getting those things done are really high? Well, you might want to write this down. August 17th, 2022, in a journal called Food and Function. To me, this is so interesting and cool. Because what it does is it points toward how amazing is God's creation. And so one of the markers of the study or the headlines is there's a fruit called amala. A-M-L-A. Not A-M-A. That stands for American Medical Association. This is called amala. A-M-L-A. Amla. I called it amala. I've done that before. I messed up. Okay, so what they're doing is they're comparing a drug called metformin that's used to treat diabetes, and they're also comparing it against a fruit called amla. Okay, so here it is. In Food and Function, they suggest that Imbica officinalis, that's either the amla or the Indian gooseberry. That'd probably be easier for me to say, the Indian gooseberry. They're saying it may be just as beneficial as metformin in people with diabetes. I guarantee you the company that produces metformin did not publish this study. No way, Jose. Okay, here it is right here. The study included 124 men and women with newly diagnosed diabetes. In order to be in the study, they had to have abnormal lipid levels. You know what that means? Cholesterol was high, triglycerides were high, too much LDL, not enough HDL. And so they either gave these people that were newly diagnosed diabetics, they either gave them 1 or 2 grams of Imbica officinalis, that's the same thing as amla or the Indian gooseberry, or they gave them 500 milligrams of metformin daily for 90 days. Fasting blood glucose, glucose after a meal, and the lipid profile, which is going to be the triglycerides, total cholesterol, HDL, LDL, and VLDL, they were measured at the initial screening visit and on days number 30, day 60, and day 90 of the study. Tests for hemoglobin A1C and other blood and urine factors were conducted during the screening and at the final visit. While fasting blood glucose and the post-meal glucose and hemoglobin A1C, they were lower in all groups at the end of the study. So that's both the metformin and the Indian gooseberry. Okay? It says while the LDL cholesterol, which was lowered in all groups, it says that participants who received 2 grams of Imbleca officinalis, or the Indian gooseberry extract, it says they had experienced a significantly greater reduction than those participants that were just received 1 gram of the Indian gooseberry. Which, there's a message in here. What can we learn? There's the Goldilocks just right dose of something, and then there's too little to get the job done. 2 grams, that's not much. Okay. They show that the VLDL declined and the HDL increased in all groups without significant differences. You know, if you look at your VLDL on a lipid profile, a lot of the doctors that are just so, so smart have shown that when that number hits 21 and above, it suggests that you're forming plaque in your arteries at a much faster rate than if it's below 21. So you might want to remember that. Who am I referring to? Dr. Linus Pauling. If memory serves me correct, he actually won 2 Nobel Prizes, one of them in medicine, one in chemistry. The guy was a genius. Now listen to this. I'm just reading the study. It says Imbleca officinalis, which is the Indian gooseberry, when they gave him an extract at a dose of 2 grams a day, it showed superior anti-diabetic and anti-dyslipidemia activities compared with the pharmaceutical drug metformin. Are you kidding me? You're telling me the Indian gooseberry was superior to the drug metformin? Yeah, the author, his name is Muhammad Majid, and his colleagues concluded. They say that natural products such as standardized extract of Imbleca officinalis, by the way, anytime you see the word officinalis, that means this is the real deal. It's been used for centuries. It works. They're saying it's the Indian gooseberry is an attractive lead as a potential supplement for the management of type 2 diabetes. And if you got high cholesterol, even better. And you know why they're using it? Because it has a very low toxicity and allows somebody to use it long-term as a prophylactic. Folks, that's called healing. There's a lot of people that when they take metformin, that's when their problems begin. I'm not saying everybody's. You already understand how this works. Every human being that you come in contact with is going to respond a little bit differently. So amazing. I just love the idea of that. So it's called Indian gooseberry or Imbleca officinalis. Anyway, look it up for yourself and see what you think about the study. It comes from Food and Function. Now, here's another one, and I dig this one right here also. And, you know, every time that I give you some information, so we've already covered green tea, black tea, Imbleca officinalis, which is Indian gooseberry. I also told you the story about Hercules. I dig that, though, because, folks, you understand, you've just got to stop the fantasy, the fairy tale life, that life is going to be super easy and requires no effort and everything. What do you think this is, like a television drama show that's like totally fake and artificial? No. I like the part where the lady tells Hercules, guess what you're going to get? You will be rewarded by what you earn for yourself. What do you think about that? Okay, next topic. And I think this one is a really good one also. But you just got to keep it in your mind. How am I going to make this work? Now, what they're doing is they're using chlorophyll. Do you know what chlorophyll is? That's that dark green pigment that gives green vegetables like spinach and kale, collard greens, turnip greens. It gives them their dark green color. But they're using chlorophyll to help people that have inflammatory bowel disease. We're talking about ulcerative colitis, and Crohn's disease. And you know why I'm reading it, because it doesn't have anything to do with the drugs. Yes, I'm biased. But the thing of it is, we have to learn to address the root cause of a problem. Okay? You don't want to have diabetic neuropathy? Maybe you should prayerfully consider magnesium. And maybe you should stop activities that deplete you of magnesium, like tons of soft drinks. It's amazing what people put in their body. Okay, this is published, and I'm certain every single gastroenterologist in Tyler is listening right now. They just can't wait for me to talk about this. So here's for all the GI doctors. A study reported on July the 15th, 2022, just a few months back, in the American Journal of Physiology, Gastrointestinal and Liver Physiology. I like it. The liver and the guts. They found a benefit for chlorophyllin, which in an animal model of inflammatory bowel disease, which includes Crohn's disease, ulcerative colitis, it says that chlorophyllin is a derivative of chlorophyll. That's the green pigment in plants. So do you get where we're coming from here? If you eat green stuff, you're getting chlorophyll. Consuming green colored vegetables or green pigment supplements such as chlorophyllin, which I use the stuff all the time. I use chlorophyll for a variety of reasons. So chlorophyll may help people with inflammatory bowel disease. This is according to the co-author, and I'm sorry for butchering his names, but it's Xiaofeng Zheng, PhD of the Sichuan University. The research, I know, I'm sorry, some of these Chinese names I just can't get right. Try taking an acupuncture class or reading about Chinese traditional herbs. It's a mouthful. The research team included chronic colitis, or they induced chronic colitis in a group of mice. Okay? So how did they do that? You're about to find out. So they induced chronic colitis, or inflammation of the gut, in a group of mice, and they supplemented some of the animals' diets with chlorophyllin, which is an amount comparable to that obtained by consuming 200 to 400 grams per day of spinach in humans. Here's what they said. Supplementation with the chlorophyllin or chlorophyll, it prevented weight loss. Do you get what I'm saying there? Do you know of anybody that has been sick or had a rough go and they just keep losing weight and losing weight and losing weight? Well, this might be important information for you to share with them. Maybe you can reach out to them on Facebook, or you can call them or send them a text and say, hey, maybe spinach and chlorophyll will help keep you from losing weight, even though you're going through some real difficult stuff right here. So not only did it help prevent weight loss, but it said it prevented colon shortening while improving stool consistency. The term colon shortening to me, it makes it sound like the colon went through a process of atrophy. It began to shrink. Not good if you're trying to keep your strength up. So this improves stool consistency, and it also reduced blood in the stool. Man, this really doesn't need to be a radical thought. If you're passing blood and it has nothing to do with colon cancer, but the lining of your gut is just beat up, it is weak, it's not in great working order, well, maybe chlorophyll might end up being a good solution for you. They say on the 35th day of this study, survival among mice with colitis that did not receive the chlorophyll, 30% lower, 40% lower, excuse me, that's 40. Do you want to be in the group study that has 40% less survival? No. It says that treated animals were found to have lower intestinal mucosal damage. Have you ever had a bowel movement with lots of mucus? There you go. They say inflammation and autophagy activation. In parentheses, it says autophagy, a process by which cells consume some of their own damaged or redundant components by degrading and recycling them, promotes cell survival. Okay. In this study, we observed that autophagy in the intestinal tissue was persistently activated in irritable bowel disease or inflammatory bowel disease mice. Chlorophyll, which is a water-soluble chlorophyllin is a water-soluble derivative of chlorophyll. It says it can attenuate colitis and inflammation. Thus, consumption of green vegetables and chlorophyllin may be beneficial if you have inflammatory bowel disease. Does that make sense? Okay. If you want to call me and ask me a question, this is your opportunity to do so. The number here at the station is 903-586-5257. This program is Health Essentials, and I'm trying to give you as many good ideas as I can where you can say, wow, you mean they've done research showing that green tea can help correct a leaky gut? Yeah, they have. Isn't that interesting? I like it. Okay, good morning and welcome to the program.
Hi there. Thank you so much for taking my call.
You're sure welcome. Thank you for your call.
What can you tell me about allergies? I'm suffering with them and I don't want to take shots or pills or what can you tell me that I can take to cure this mess?
Okay, number one, I have a book in the back seat of my car written by Kerry Bone and Simon Mills. Those names aren't going to mean anything to you, but the guys are geniuses when it comes to allergies.
Oh, wonderful.
And so one of the things in one of the recent studies, they looked at what's called black cumin seed. I think it comes from Egypt.
Okay.
Are you calling from the Nile, by the way?
I wish.
Can you see a pyramid out your back door? Black cumin seed is really very interesting. You should be able to get that stuff anywhere.
At the granary?
Well, I haven't been, but just call them and ask them. As simple as that.
Okay.
But it's called black cumin seed. Yeah, wow. C-U-M-I-N.
Okay.
And in the study, it has almost a magical ability to regulate and to control allergies. What it does, it helps your immune system not overreact.
Okay.
Which, in a roundabout way, that's kind of what an allergy is. You breathe in the air after we have a norther blow through, and you're going, great. I'm feeling horrible after breathing in the mountain cedar. So that's one thing you can look at.
Okay.
Another study that I looked at recently, they just used what's called ginkgo biloba.
Okay.
And I think
have some of that, but
there,
I haven't.
Hey, there you go. So if you take ginkgo biloba, maybe that helps some of those markers for inflammation within the immune system.
Okay.
Another thing that I always think about, and this is just my opinion, is the use of what's called cod liver oil.
Okay.
So you've got black cumin seed extract, you've got ginkgo biloba, you've got cod liver oil. I think you could probably build a really, really good case for just consuming whole vitamin C.
Okay. I do take a lot of vitamin C.
And I think that's good. One more thing that I'm going to cover.
Thank you.
This plant, if you don't understand how valuable it is, you think of it as the worst weed of all time. But, I mean, I've had my fair share of pain and suffering from it. It's called the bull nettle. Or the stinging nettle.
Yeah, I know.
I thought, hey, Roy, it's so warm outside today. Maybe you should just trim the fence line barefooted. Big mistake. Because I think I accidentally kicked some bull nettle. But it will light you up. But if you get nettle in the form of a capsule, or you get nettle in the form of a tea, you got nothing to lose by trying that, sister.
Okay.
So if you start consuming nettle, that can be a godsend. Now, if you have bad allergies,
I'm a health nut, but I, all of a sudden, in my old age, I have these things, and I've been told.
Wait, what's your definition of old age? I just want to make sure we're on the same page.
I ain't gonna say.
Oh, okay.
I'm not gonna tell you that kind of stuff.
You know what? I retract that question. That was inappropriate. Please forgive me. Okay.
Here's what I did last night. I drank the juice of two lemons, And before I went to bed, and it was the first time I've got any sleep of relief from this stuff that I've got.
Oh, bless your heart. So but did the lemon give you some relief?
Pardon?
Did the lemon then give you some relief?
A little for the night. I slept good. But I woke up with the dang stuff. So.
Okay, so here's the other thing that you can do, and this is going to be kind of radical, but really the only thing that matters is how desperate are you?
I'm radical, okay.
Okay, you are radical?
Yeah.
I started to ask you, name one radical thought that you've had in the last week, but I'm not going to.
Well.
You could always try a carnivore diet for a few days.
Okay.
And what that would look like is you could easily, you could eat liver for one meal, you could have a steak, you could have chicken, you could have fish.
Okay.
Do you know what they used to do to treat, and I realize I've got to be careful how I say these things because it's just not going to come across as like a pleasant sales pitch, but for the worst, most severe allergies back in the early 1900s, what they would do is they would just do one thing.
What's that?
A coffee retention enema. They would just take a cup of coffee, hold it in the lower, colon, for about 10, 12 minutes.
Wow.
And then release it, and all of a sudden, it causes your liver just to get rid of all the stuff that's triggering an allergy.
Wow. Back then, they did that kind of stuff, huh?
Yeah, but you know now, people go, I ain't doing that. I'm just going to be miserable for the rest of my life.
Oh, my.
But then again, let me tell you this right here. I know it's not exactly the same topic.
Mm-hmm.
But I was reading about a group of individuals that were basically, they were given up for dead. They were turned over to hospice. They said, you've got end-stage metastatic cancer. You'll never get well. Every one of them got well. You know what they did?
What?
They all started a coffee retention enema.
Really?
And so I'm just going to float an idea and just prayerfully consider it. I don't know what a prayer would be like but coffee enemas, but... a coffee enema, it really does the most remarkable job of purging your body of all the debris and toxins that are in there.
Wow.
It's a pretty interesting detox.
Well, I sure will consider it.
When I was in college, can I tell you what Bruce Guillory said?
Yes.
Bruce raised his hand like Bruce normally did. He was very, he had good manners. And he said, Mr. Instructor, I think it was Dr. Wolfberger, or Wolfenberger. I'm telling you, that woman was wicked. She was bad. She was like a wolf on us. She showed no mercy ever. But Dr. Wolfenberger, he asked her, he said, Dr. Wolfenberger, should we wait for the coffee to cool off before we do the enema? I have such a low threshold for humor. I just laughed and laughed and laughed at that.
That's wild.
Which Dr. Wolfenberger did not laugh. She never laughed.
Well.
She's not like you.
Well, I'll tell you what. I appreciate all of this stuff.
You're welcome.
Roy, and I've got to get over it because I can't.
You do.
Yeah.
You have no choice. You've got to get better. And so... go to YouTube and look up how to do a coffee retention enema. Look up black cumin seed extract. You got nothing to lose.
Now, the name of this book, can you give me the authors again?
Of what book?
Of the ones that wrote on the allergies.
His name was Carrie Bone. The last name is Bone, B-O-N-E, and his first name is Carrie, K-E-R-R-Y.
I'll do it, okay.
But you have to understand, he's from the land down under.
Okay.
Does that bother you?
No.
Okay, good.
If he can cure stuff, allergies, I'm for it. Okay.
Well, I think his book is on Amazon.com. That's probably a website you don't know anything about.
All right, and the name of it again is?
I forget the name, but there's a flower on the front of the book.
Okay.
I think it goes for like about $45, but it's I am so sorry.
I go through
so many books, and I can't see it in my mind right now.
Well, you're so wise on all of this stuff.
Well, we're gonna find out. Now, I wasn't telling you to trim the fence row barefoot so you can get your bull nettle today, okay?
Okay.
That's not what I said.
Well, thanks so
yes,
much.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you very much for your phone call. I'm sure it helped a bunch of other people, too.
Well, it did. I'm sure. Okay.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, the phone line is once again open. The number here at the station is 903-586-5257. Could you imagine if we could find a non-toxic way to help your body function better? I think we should do that. Now, you don't have to listen to me. If you have severe allergies, maybe you want to take like about 15 over-the-counter medications and a big dose of steroids and maybe other drugs, and maybe that's your deal. Well, you know what? That's your choice. You can. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Now, you don't have to listen to me.
Hey, Doc.
Hey.
Question for you on something you talked about last week. The copper?
Copper, yes.
Yeah. I have a friend that has she's really bad on her iron levels. Every once in a while, she has to go and get iron infusions.
Then this is the same exact topic. You're right on the mark. You're hitting the mark, buddy.
Ah, okay. That's what I was trying to make sure of is that.
Yeah, what happens is when your body is like a magnet that holds on to old rusting iron, that's going to age the body faster than anything.
Right.
Bioavailable copper, when you ingest it, it starts displacing the iron so you can poop it out. I know that doesn't sound pleasant, but it's got to go somewhere.
You got to go somewhere.
Yeah.
Do the bracelets also help that?
You do get some. I mean, there's a reason why John Wayne would wear that copper band on each one of his wrists, because it probably beat down the symptoms of severe arthritis.
Yeah.
And so you do get some, yeah. I mean, some of it rubs off, just like when they used to, I think now they use a stuff called PEX when they build a new house.
Oh, yeah.
I've had so many people tell me that's been a disaster for them, and I go, why? Because rats like to eat it and chew on it.
Yeah.
Well, I've never heard of a rat chewing on a copper pipe, have you?
No.
Not successfully.
No.
But when they use copper pipes in kitchens and homes, you probably get a little bit of copper that way.
Yeah. Okay. Just one other thing. The chlorophyll is a source of copper. Is that enough?
No, it's really not.
Okay.
And I'm not trying to be overly blunt, but I've had about 1 million people to experiment on. You usually have to, and that's the reason why I usually recommend beef liver, because beef liver is absolutely the greatest source of copper.
Okay.
It's just you start the process of fixing all these problems with the human body when you start giving them the copper they need. It's just that, you know how we've talked about magnesium in the past?
Yes.
And how the soil is just so depleted of that essential nutrient, or maybe even iodine and boron and selenium and chromium. You could just keep going and going. But between, just because of man-made fertilizers or chemicals, the soil is just so depleted of minerals.
Yeah.
And so today, how's a person going to get this stuff if they don't, supplement? It's going to be a rough deal.
Yeah, it is.
So bioavailable copper is probably like a really, really good call for most people.
Okay. Sounds great. All right. Thanks, Doc.
You betcha. Thanks for your phone call, sir. Appreciate you.
Bye.
I'm rooting for the lady that you're referring to, because any time that you start looking, and you know what? When they look at studies on this stuff, if your body is harboring old rusted iron, then you're going to oxidize. That's called free radicals. You're not better off. Good morning. Welcome to KBJS.
Yes, good morning. My name is Matt.
Hey, Matt. Thank you for your call.
Yes, sir. Well, thanks for taking me. I have been, for years now, struggling with activating my parasympathetic nervous system, especially at nighttime, but any time, really. I end up getting a nervous stomach,
yeah.
Especially when I lay down, but it happens when I wake up, sometimes during the day. And I'm not stressed about anything in particular. I'm trying to relax.
Other than your body is just not activating this parasympathetic system.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. I know what I would do if it were me.
What's that?
What I would do is I would be very open-minded because of what I know already, but there's a book called The Breathing Cure. That's just one of them. There's plenty of books out there. There's a book called Breathe. That's the easiest way that I know of that doesn't require a drug to tap into the parasympathetic nervous system. All you're doing is you're just trying to rewire the parasympathetics, and you do that by doing those breathing and breath-holding exercises because it changes the balance of carbon dioxide and oxygen. That's going to accomplish everything that you want. So what you're going to do is you're going to go from chronically over-breathing. You just need to read about that in the book. That way it'll start to make sense to you. And it'll have, and so I've done this in my office several times. Like if I'm really worked up and busy and I got to move really fast, I can show a patient. I say, look at this right here. I can put the pulse oximeter on my finger and my heart rate might be like 90 beats a minute just because I'm moving. I say, watch this. And I'll just go through about three breaths and they'll go, oh my goodness, it dropped down to 58. I'm going, there you go. And all I'm doing is I'm just trying to compel them to consider, if you can do these breathing, breath holding, slowing down your breathing through a practice exercise, then you can win by tapping into the parasympathetics. It's probably the easiest thing that I know of, and it works. But you may need just a smidgen of help to try to reduce your body's production of adrenaline and cortisol. And so rhodiola is hard to beat. And then you're just going to need extra amounts of magnesium to help down-regulate that sympathetic and charge up the parasympathetic nervous system. Walking has been shown to help. You only have to walk 35 miles a day to get the effect. I'm joking. That was a joke.
Okay.
So would you be willing to consider a very specific breathing exercise?
Oh, yeah, sure.
So you can find that in The Breathing Cure. I think James Nestor has a book called Breathe. He mentions it in there. But you could also get it for free just by going onto YouTube and typing in breathing techniques to upregulate the parasympathetic and to downregulate the sympathetic nervous system.
Okay.
So that gets your foot in the door right there.
Yeah, excellent.
You betcha.
Appreciate it. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
I think they have the device is called heart rate variability. That's actually like a really good way to check your parasympathetic. I think the ring is called an Oura ring. The numbers don't lie. Anyway, if you'd like to join me on the radio, 903-586-5257. Joe was making fun of me yesterday on my phone call. He said, hey, I sound just like you on the radio. I'm going, well, right. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Yes, sir. A while ago when you were talking about your magnesium level getting low because you drink Cokes and colas and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to ask you about the Zevia drinks. Do you know about them?
I personally don't like them. But can I tell you why specifically?
Yes, sir.
I have learned all my lessons the hard way. I'd love to tell you that everything just comes easy and natural, but no. I mean, that's what it's like when you're in school. They tell you over, intensive study, this is the way it's going to work, young student. When you're a doctor in the real world, this is the way. It doesn't work anything like that. I mean, all that's valuable education, but I have learned the hard way that if you want to literally beat the crap out of a person's kidneys, then you're going to drink Zevia. Mm-hmm. It's too hard on the kidneys. It really is.
Yes, sir.
I just cannot successfully... You're better off with kombucha or making your own Gatorade.
Yes, sir.
So just at least consider that. And your kidneys, they are such a critical organ system to maintain either how acidic or how alkaline your body is. That's the same thing that the guy was trying to tell me on the phone a while ago. He's just saying his body is way, way, way too acidic at nighttime, and he wants to soothe it and calm it down. So
yes.
when you have these surges of oxytocin, that's alkaline, that's soothing and peaceful and comforting. But when you have surges of cortisol and adrenaline, that stuff is pure acid. Just keeps your body so irritated. So I'm not a fan of Zevia. Sorry about that.
Okay. Well, thank you for your help.
Oh, you're welcome. And I appreciate your phone call very, very much. Have a great day, ma'am.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Boy, that's just the running battle. So one of the purposes of doing these breathing exercises to help improve parasympathetic activity is so your body can heal. That's just the way it is, folks. Do you want to heal? Yeah, the answer is yes, you do. And you want to learn how to do that. And that requires effort and a little bit of skill. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Last week, you recommended a particular B12. Can you tell us
methyl cobalamin.
Well, do you spell it?
Yeah, if you'll let me write it down first. Okay, methyl. Methyl sounds like ethyl, as in ethyl Mertz, but it's with an M on the front. Methyl is M-E-T-H-Y-L.
Yes.
And then cobalamin. That's going to be C-O-B-A-L, I think, I-M-N, sorry, methylcobalamin. That's going to be a form of B12 that's really, really bioavailable. It works really well.
I find it at a natural food store?
Yeah, you really should.
Right, thank you very much.
You're welcome. I appreciate your phone call, ma'am. Have a great day.
Thank you.
I meant to say bye-bye, but I was leaning over to the to push the phone button. Anyway, there's just maybe a moment or two left in the program. If you want to call 903-586-5257. Has anyone ever been gone to the emergency room from overdosing on methylcobalamin or B12? No. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Yes, sir.
Hello. Thanks for calling.
Yeah. You betcha. I'll get quickly to it. Plantar fasciitis.
Mm-hmm.
You have any thoughts on it? I've got one and 1 foot.
Well, number one, you got to start stretching your calf every day. If you practice walking barefoot on the grass, that's going to work wonders to fix that. Usually, every time I see a case of plantar fasciitis, I work on what are called the hip rotators and the hip flexors. That's up in the hip. It's not going to make sense. But if you start doing squatting exercises, that is a godsend for you. You could rub fresh lemon juice on it. You could rub castor oil all over your foot and cover it with a wool sock at night when you go to bed and see if when you wake up. But you got to get out of the flip-flops. I've seen you at church on Sunday morning where you wear flip-flops up to the front row. Right before you start preaching. So, there's a type of a shoe called a zero drop shoe. That's probably the perfect shoe for you to wear to get rid of the plantar fasciitis. Or you could get some Converse All Stars. That would look great with your 3-piece suit. Am I right?
Yeah, that would get their attention anyway.
But zero drop shoes, those are the type of shoes that fix plantar fasciitis.
Sir, you've been a big help.
Hey, you're welcome, buddy. I enjoyed every bit of it. Thanks for your phone call.
Yes, sir. You have a blessed weekend, okay?
Blessings upon you. God bless. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Yes, sir. Bye.
Talk about a kind man. I like it. Okay, I have enjoyed being with you today. This program is Health Essentials. Lord willing, I hope to be here next Saturday morning, and I'm going to try to bring you some more really good information. So, God bless you. Have a great weekend and really enjoy yourself.